You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
It's going to be hot, and we're all, I think, a little sick of the heat and ready to have something autumn-like and build fires and like that. But for the meantime, it's just going to be hot and humid and drippy and sweaty and funky. But if you have a pool or a water hose, as we call it here in the South, you can play in that for a little bit longer. It's still dark. It gets dark now at night by about 7:05. So the transition begins. The time change comes after Halloween. So we have, it's just all moving on like it always does. And the fair is back. How many fairs does this town need? This is the Mid-South Fair, which is now at the Landers Center in South Haven. It's the same thing as it was before. And now there's a Bluff City event, a fair, on Tiger Lane. Why? Can this town support three of these? And is it just location-based?
Maybe so.
Okay. And now we have, there are fests every weekend. Burger and whatever the hell they are. But we have three fairs. They all have rides, Carney Freaks, and Funnel Cakes, and Turkey Legs. And so I guess they do it if it's by location and you can access it in Midtown by over at Tiger Lane. That's cool. And the one at the Agri Center has already come and gone, and I missed that one. That just got right by me. And now the Mid-South Fair is over there. So Tiger football this weekend too, Saturday night, 7:00, and a full week of SEC and other college football. National Football League week 3. I haven't even checked. It starts tonight. We'll cover that in the sports break. That is coming up momentarily. Another day of tickets for the Avett Brothers. They play at the Island Amphitheater tomorrow night. Great band. Dale, I'll play one of their songs, and when I play it, you can call the phone, 535-9898, and we'll give you tickets to the ninth call. We'll get that. In the area and the world around, it's relatively slow. I mean, it's pretty dramatic, but it's still pretty slow. First, locally, today, some of these things get so old, and you wish you could just stop talking about them and wait until they come back with a solution and then discuss that. But these ideas and these issues still persist in the area, and we got to all be, I guess, aware of them. Today, there's a meeting among city leaders, doesn't say who they are, to discuss the fate of the Mid-South Fairgrounds. Now, October 13th was the last date I heard. That, I guess, is a public event where you can come and propose ideas or something, or where these companies that have money to invest or an idea to expound upon can show up. This one is a meeting. They've gotten 270 ideas, says the city. Now, how many of them are credible and doable and financeable is the question. They got these from the first meeting of the public over the fairgrounds last month and on the project website. So they have been going over these suggestions and plans to rework the area in the past. They're taking more of these. I suppose this is the one today at the Croc Center at 5:00. So it's kind of an open house. You can stop by, and I guess this is a good idea. I don't know. But any random person with an imagination and a desire to save the fairgrounds or fix the fairgrounds, this has gone way beyond just the Coliseum, which seems to be the albatross in the mix unless somebody has a lot of money to refurbish, redo, gut this place down to the core and then begin again. It's a very, very expensive project, which has been looked at by people with money and brains, and they all walked away saying it's not worth the time or the money. Yet, there may be somebody with a creative plan, like there was for the Crosstown Center and all that, and perhaps they can turn this into something that maybe we're missing. 270 ideas. I hope that at least one of those is worth the time today. But again, today, 5:00 at the Croc Center, you can go over there and talk to people, I suppose, and there they're just giving people, I think, one last shot to get this out of their system before everybody realizes that it may be undoable. But then again, we have to find something to do on that site, whether it involves the Coliseum or not. And I don't know if anybody in retail has come forward. They probably have, but nobody will speak in specifics about this. The city has been kind of just on a mission to find somebody, and they're on hold until an idea strikes them and somebody shows them a check or shows whoever is in charge a check. So that's today. Channel 5, I believe it was, did this story yesterday, which is pretty interesting. I drove yesterday, and many of you do this daily, twice. You go to work and you come home from work, and you may drive like Sid does from Arlington to here, or Wes drives from Bartlett. I drive from South Haven. This time of day, it's not horrible. It's bad enough because people are stupid 24/7 when they're in their cars. You would not believe the number of people on their phones at 5:15 in the morning on the interstate or texting. It never ceases to amaze. But when you drive from South Haven to the Wolf Chase Mall at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't know why there aren't more issues of road rage and rampant killing, just outright homicidal anger that turns into the Old West and a shootout. People do not understand how to merge in this town, how to let somebody in, how to not cut somebody off, how to drive with the flow of traffic and keep it moving. It really is pathetic. But it's not going to change because we bitch about it here, but it's just stupid. And we all know the same place is Poplar Avenue, which is too narrow in this area around here where we are. And the talks about making it prettier and bigger out where the rich folks are at, that's going to cause some discussion before it ever gets approached. And there's Goodman Road in South Haven, which is a nightmare. But at least down there, after about 8 at night, everything dries up. But during the daytime, it makes you want to pull your hair out in chunks. So Channel 5 looked at some of the other areas, which are always congested problems. Walnut Grove around that area has been under construction and is a mess because it's so busy. There are so many options there, and it turns into insanity every day. The top three worst intersections as far as congestion, says Channel 5, Austin P at Old Brownsville Road, Hacks Cross and State Line. Yeah, that's pretty jacked up. Hacks Cross and Holmes Road. In Germantown, those intersections are also pretty accident-prone. There's a lot of stuff happening out that way. You drive down Poplar towards Germantown, and it is always pretty busy. Germantown Road and the Wolf River area, that's busy. 75,000 cars every day in that area. They've already had 40 wrecks this year. Poplar and West Street, nearly as congested. A number of cars every day, 60,000. Germantown Road, Wolf Trail Cove, 15 wrecks so far this year. Poplar and Market, and on and on and on. These areas, if you drive them, you're very aware of where they are. So I guess all you can do is you got to really pay attention, or you will end up with a fender bender and traffic stopped and police cars there and insurance. It's just not worth it. Just pay attention. Put your phone down, for goodness sake, and watch where you are everywhere. But these areas in particular are just a mess. The continuing saga of Equifax has taken even an uglier turn. This is the last thing they need. But, man, people are just so mean-spirited and like to cause trouble and upset. Now, this story from CNN, Dateline New York, it says it keeps getting more complicated for Equifax. The credit agency's Twitter account. Now, wouldn't it seem there's a better way to communicate with a lot of people in an effective and professional way than doing it through Twitter with an issue as big as this is. They tweeted out some links yesterday to a fake site pretending to be Equifax, further bungling their response to a massive hack that has affected 143 million customers. Equifax reads the story, like many companies, handle customer service and complaints through their Twitter account. Is that unusual?
Not being much on Twitter, it's hard for me to say, but I hear about it a lot. It comes up in stories a lot where, like, even for promotion, they do it too. So
yeah, it's just hard for me to get my head around the fact that a company of that stature and size would use what is used, I guess, mainly for social commentary. Although it's used for a lot of stuff, it is a multifaceted kind of a tool that is effective for some people to promote things, and for writers to promote things, and for sports and all of that. But it seems that there might be a better way to do this than through Twitter when you're in this really, really bad position. And now it's even worse. Somebody set up a fake Equifax account, and people were it was designed to be a phishing site, or to look like one. And it was set up to criticize how the company has handled this really bad situation. The real site is securityequifax2017.com. So there were tweets and all these retweets, and it appears, it says here, even Equifax was duped by the fake site. So they're trying to, somebody at CNN Tech said that the move is part of an effort to get Equifax to change the hosting to their secure website. So their domain is not reliable, and this whole thing is just going to get worse and worse and worse. Once again, the best advice, and I haven't done it, to be totally open about it, I don't know what good it will do. But the best advice is to use your one shot a year at annualcreditreport.com to check your credit. On my bank site, there's a place to look at to how to freeze the accounts, all three of the agencies, to freeze your credit. I wonder how many people have done that, or if they're even paying attention.
Well, I hope they are, because you said you haven't done it yet. It could easily come back to bite some random person, though. It may not be you, it may not be me, but it could be. Because we both had incidences where our information from our bank cards got taken by someone else and used in a different part of the country. So it could happen, and it's not worth the hassle of having to spend weeks or months undoing it.
Yeah, I think that the operative phrase, what you just said, is not worth the hassle. Because I sit down at my desk and my computer, it's never ending stuff, and I can unsubscribe from it, and it keeps coming, and there's so much trash. My bank site has a thing on there that offers help. So I guess I ought to pay attention this weekend and sit down and maybe look at this a little bit deeper before I get, just somehow screwed. I also, to show you, on a different note, and the Equifax thing is going to be out there. So you've been told now for a week how to handle this. And so the questions have been answered pretty much. But this fake Equifax site on your Twitter account is not helpful. So be aware of that, too. The issue of, here we go again with the Affordable Health Care Act, what the answers may be, what they are not going to be, why this is so complicated, because every state has a different plan. Every state has a different funding from the, there are some states like Tennessee and Texas that turned down the money for Medicare, which was likely a dumb, dumb thing to do. But they are trying to push through a bill to pass something in the next 9 days. because open enrollment begins again in November. And in October, they plan to roll out some new plans. The front page today of the paper, I only scanned this, but there are some new folks, I guess, offering premiums for 2018 in Tennessee. Because at this point, I think that Cigna was the most prominent of the providers. Blue Cross Blue Shield will be available, and hopefully they'll be in other states too, like Mississippi, who is having a real hard time. I live there, so I have lived through that myself. But I got a notice last night that said, click here to see your options on the, because I signed up, I guess, through the ACA website, through the government, which is scary enough on the face of it. But it's all worked out fine, except for Humana is, at this point, going to bail from that state, leaving many of us with very, very few choices. But these things might change. So last night, I get this email, and I think, yay, they're offering some ideas here. Maybe things have altered somewhat, and there are going to be more companies offering plans that are affordable and not just completely ridiculous. So this morning, I figured, because last night, I just didn't care. It was 9:30, and I wanted to just go away from the world. This morning, I clicked on the thing, and it was information about signing up for the Health Care Act for 2017.
2017.
They said, now, you already missed the window for 2017, but it was an outdated, and I, you know, scanned it half asleep, but I thought, oh, wait a minute. But the entire thing appears to be a year old. So they may be sending out what they think is help for 2018. It, in fact, was help and advice for 2017. So nice job on that end. I'll go back and see it when I'm, you know, wide awake and just decide if it is a complete screw-up or if I missed something. But I'm pretty sure it said, here are your options for 2017. Well, it's almost October. Thanks.
Right.
I'm already done with that for them.
Government-run healthcare systems.
Yeah.
Good thing hospitals that are private never, ever make mistakes like that either.
Yeah, it really is just a pathetic spot to be in this country with healthcare and all the complications that go with it. There were good things about the ACA. There were bad things about it. But once again, it depends upon where you live as to how good and or bad they were. And that's what's being discussed at this juncture. Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, he's the guy that Jimmy Kimmel called out for lying to his face on national TV about what they would and would not do. So they're trying to get this pushed through, and they've mentioned some specifics. It would cut the federal money to states by $215 billion over the next decade. But depending upon where you live, the monies that are being cut out of your state vary. There are some extremes. California and New York, two massive states whose governors did take the Medicaid expansion, would see dips in funding of billions and billions of dollars. Those are the extreme two states. The other 47 states, or at least the 34 that would receive less money from the government under this new Graham and Cassidy bill, are the ones that should worry the GOP, it says, because the states are going to be having money pulled out of their accounts. They will lose billions in federal funding. States where Mr. Trump won last time, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Colorado, Michigan, and with all these House races and such coming up in 2018, the last thing they want to do is anger the residents of these states who would suddenly be either without insurance or their premiums would jump. And there's a map on here that shows which states would be the most affected by this. Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi would seemingly stand to benefit from this. Mm-hmm. There'd be some more money put into the states around here.
Tennessee and Mississippi would. Arkansas would actually start losing some money.
Well, then move, I guess. But this thing, they're trying to push this through, and they've already got resistance. They've already lost two people. They can only stand to lose three to get this passed. And numerous governors, I saw 10, 15 governors of states are encouraging their senators to vote against this because it is a quick attempt to push something through before they can't get anything done with it at all this year. Because in October, there's new plans. November will begin you can get on a new plan then for 2018 if you're being screwed out of your insurance by some company here in this state or in Mississippi or elsewhere. And that's part of the problem. It's a real double-edged sword. You want to see if you're going to be able to get insurance. And if you can't, then what do you do? And if it costs... These premiums for some of this stuff are just unbelievable. So this one remains an open topic and will be discussed heavily next week. What happened to the panic over the debt ceiling and the government being shut down next Friday?
Well, that was part of the deal that came up with the Hurricane Harvey relief package.
Yeah.
To remove that from even being a worry until toward the end of the year.
3 months worth. Is that what they did?
Yeah.
Well, they sure didn't make much of a, well, that was not even a story. So they just tacked that on to the Hurricane Harvey thing and moved. Oh, that's why.
That was the deal that.
That's why everybody made. Was so pissed off because, Donnie John Trump and Pelosi and, what's his nuts? Chuck Schumer made their little deal and that pissed off the GOP. And Mr. Trump's alleged allies, and now they're all having a bitch fight over that, which will never end. And it's just kind of funny anymore to watch. It's a never-ending drama that ought to be on NBC. Oh, it already was. It was called The Apprentice, starring Donnie Trump. Oh, anyway, I don't know. I guess he's doing the best he can. I can't tell anymore. Some days it seems to make good sense. Some days it seems just totally insane that all this is going on. And on another update of one of these topics that never will go away, he's been the prez for what, almost 8 months?
All right.
Okay. We had the big border wall promises and all that stuff, and that has been pretty much forgotten, yet he brings it up on occasion. And California is suing the president over this border wall thing. The details of things of this size and magnitude are what nobody looks into. It sounds good to say it and to proclaim that you're going to build a wall and keep all these damn Mexicans out and all these bad hombres and all that stuff. As a matter of fact, influx into this country of bad folks has been going down for the past 2 years, much, I guess, in part due to the work on the border by our police and their police and, I guess, more paying attention to what's happening. California is suing over this border wall thing it says no one gets to ignore the law. California Attorney General Javier Becerra says, not even the president of the U.S. of A. He sued him Wednesday over this whole thing because the concept of the wall violates myriad environmental laws, says the L.A. Times. The border between the U.S. and Mexico spans some 2,000 miles. We already know that. And the list of violations by the president and his bunch in order to build his campaign wall is almost as long. It pretty much is undoable. It would include the improper waiver of 37 federal statutes, and that's just the beginning of it. Yesterday, there was a story in the national paper and also on the front page of the Commercial Appeal, which are essentially the same news stories down to the exact verbiage, word. It's just the same stuff. Yesterday, a big piece called The Wall was on here. And the gist of it is that this would cost so much money. USA Today spent a couple of months and surveyed the entire area where this alleged wall might be. They talked to everybody in Congress, both sides of it, and the Republicans in particular, it was almost a fifth of them are kind of into it. The rest of them are not. They asked members of the House and Senate whether or not they support this concept that's going to cost so much money, and no one knows how it'll be paid for, but it has to begin with a down payment of $1.6 billion. Well, they don't want to do that. And so Mr. Trump's party, I guess it's his party still, no one seems to know, they're not in support of it. The more important thing to look at here is this project that these reporters, there were four of them, went on to examine the border, reveals the challenges and consequences of Mr. Trump's border wall plan in incredible detail. Texas, which accounts for more than half the border, has almost no fencing and hundreds of miles of open border at a stretch. A network investigation of public records found that, now dig this, that to wall this border in the wide open area would require disrupting or seizing nearly 5,000 individual pieces of property. This is land that's been owned by Texans and their families for goodness knows how many years. So you've got to go through 5,000 individual people and tell them, we are going to take over your land, where your cattle are, or where your home is, or where whatever the hell it might be is, and that's what's going to happen. Failing all of that, in Texas, any wall would have to be built some distance from the border, because the line itself runs down the middle of the Rio Grande River. To gauge the impact, they go on and on and on. And they got property maps from all the 13 Texas counties with border frontage. And in summary, between California suing them and Texas looking like it is an impossible physical act to pull off, 5,000 properties have to be dealt with. How do you do that?
You'd have to do it slowly. And you know that...
Hi, Mr. Jones. Don Trump calling. I'm going to need to buy your place. government takeover. Is that cool with you? It's not going to happen.
Probably not.
It's just, it is physically undoable. It was a symbolic gesture that got him a lot of votes from people who are tired of all them damn Mexicans bringing dope over here. The dope is still coming over here from every possible. It's not going to ever stop. And this whole concept is, it's a good idea in theory, but all this has already slowed down, and we have the immigration issues and DACA to deal with. So all of these things in combination, these ideas come up that were floated early on or in the campaign or in the early months of his presidency, but nothing gets done. So here we are again with this healthcare thing that hangs over the heads of a lot of people all across America. This border thing, this issue with the UN and North Korea. Today there's a big meeting that hopefully will go well. Mr. Trump made it quite clear that the U.S. is about tired of the crazy fat kid down there in North Korea, Rocket Man, which he needs to stop saying. It's just not very, it's just not that cute. We need China, or he needs China, to stand up and calm this dude down before this gets even uglier. So today there's more meetings of world leaders, and that's hopefully a productive thing for everybody, but there are just all these things in play, and the healthcare issue will now be the one that you'll hear. This will be in the news and talked about now ad nauseum until next Friday to see if they can possibly push something through. The word was that that during their August recession, there were four or five of these guys working tirelessly to create a better plan. Well, it doesn't seem to have worked out that way. It's going to screw a lot of states, hurt some states, hurt a bunch of people, and so on. So until they get one of these things, or until they, and they still refuse to sit down with the other members of the other party, you know, them D's, and talk about this as sensible grown-ups and find a plan that everybody can agree on, they just won't do it. So until that happens, we're going to keep sitting around playing with ourselves here and watching these adults who were hired to serve the public. That's you and me. You know, they're public servants. Their gig is to take care of the problems that dominate and direct our lives. They can't find their ass with both hands on a map. They need to get something done by the end of the year that benefits people and doesn't cause utter havoc like these insurance things. It's really, really going to be a messy, messy thing to watch. So it's out of our hands. We just sit back and talk about it and try to make some sense of it. And your opinions are always welcomed. Mail at drakeinthemorning.com is where you can write. We will discuss those things. And also today is Ask Lawyer Bill. Thursday, Bill will be here. Here's your chance to get free legal advice. That does not happen anywhere else. Bill will answer your questions. He always gives you good answers. If he doesn't know, he'll find somebody who does and refer you to them. So we'll get the phones open here in a bit. You can call up and we'll talk to Bill on the air. Or you can email and we'll get those questions to him. But you get some advice if it's usually... Oh, bad marriages and kids and child support and the rights of people to do whatever it might be. There's wills, there's bankruptcies, there are many issues that lawyers handle. That's why there are so many of them, and they're all just so much fun. But Bill's a good one. He'll be here to answer some of your questions, and we'll get into that next hour. So email us about all this if you'd like, and do it now. We'll do a break and come back and run down the sports news of the day. The big NFL weekend begins tonight. College football has some good games this weekend. Finally, in the SEC, there's some pretty interesting things. And it's already week four of college football, believe it or not. High school ball tomorrow night in the heat. So hydrate these kids and don't let them get sick and fall out. Have a good day. Watch where you're going. It's crazy out there. Be careful. We'll be back in a moment and check your emails and all that stuff after this break.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.